good to see everybody here. We have a few that are out, but really when you think about it, this is one of the first Sundays we've had in quite a while where we don't have a lot of sickness, a lot of people out. I'm still improving. I still have a lot of coughing every now and then, especially in the early morning and late evening. And my voice is returning, but it's still got a ways to go. Anyway, we're going to be talking about a subject this morning, which is very simple. Why be a Christian? And this is something that is good for those who have not obeyed the gospel to look at an incentives to be a Christian. Those who are Christians, this would be a good reminder for why we are a Christian. So why be a Christian? We have to answer that question. Why do we become a Christian? All right, most people think to have success, you have to have money. And the disciples thought the same way. When we look at Mark 10:23-27, Jesus says, no, that's not the answer. Money does not buy the happiness, but money does not buy success. And he talked about that, and he even talked about what does it matter if you gain the whole world and yet lose your own soul. And so Jesus showed that riches can be a distinct disadvantage at times. And we know from other places in the scriptures that yes, having too much and not using it properly and wisely does get people into trouble. All right. We want to show today that the real advantages in this life are to those who are following Christ. That's where the real advantage is. And when we think about and look at all these reasons why, we'll understand that by the time this sermon is over. So here's some things to consider in answering the question, why be a Christian? First of all, our faith and our hope are in God, which is a far better than putting our faith and hope in man. Because when you put your faith and hope in man, it's destined for failure. We cannot trust man, and in so many different ways. And when I say man, that includes all of humanity, but it also includes people that we come in contact with. Might even be our own family. See, in 1 Peter 1:20-21, and I'm going to have a lot of scripture references, and we won't take the time to read all of them, but and just make some observations. Yes, that's where our faith is. Our faith and hope are in God, and God's not going to fail us. We know that. We believe that we are made in the image of God, and we will give an account to our Maker, as we read in many places in the Scriptures, like Romans 14:10. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And here's a point. Believing that man evolved from animals or through organic evolution doesn't give man much dignity. I mean, humanism declares you are no different from a snail or a cockroach. Now, how does it make you feel? Well, I take offense to that. Because if I'm made in the image of God, I am not a snail or a cockroach. And one thing we do is we constantly build on our faith. Jude 20:21 commands that. We are to be building our faith. Another thing about being a Christian is we have an inward satisfaction. See, there is a personal satisfaction knowing we are what God wants us to be. And God wants us all to honor His Son, and that's what Jesus said, you need to honor me. And we do this by wearing His name, by becoming Christians. You know, Acts 11:26, 1 Peter 4:16, and Acts 26:28-29, the only verses that mention the followers of Christ being called by that name of Christian. But yet the same idea is implied throughout the scriptures. All who are followers of Christ belong to Christ. And the I-A-N after the word Christ means belonging to. So we belong to Jesus Christ. And also our inward spirits bear witness with the Holy Spirit that we are children of God. You read that in Romans 8, verse 16 and 17. And our spirits testify that we have done what the Holy Spirit reveals. When we follow His word and live according to the Scriptures, we are following the direction of the Holy Spirit. And there is something that is very gratifying in the inner self in knowing that we are pleasing to our Creator. He tells us to rejoice. Rejoice always. And we're supposed to do that. Many people in this world, you can tell by their actions, by their behavior, they're not satisfied. Nothing is good enough for them because they haven't put their trust in the right place. They're seeking for it in wealth, in riches, in relationships, in different types of things. Sometimes it's in drugs and smoking and things like that. But yet we as Christians, we can have that inward satisfaction, as Paul describes to the Philippians, a satisfaction that really goes beyond human comprehension. Another great idea and understanding of being a Christian is we have the forgiveness of sins, which those outside of Christ do not have. See, one must receive the remission of sins before he can become a Christian in the first place. Why? Because Isaiah 59:2 tells us that it's our sins that separate us from God. We cannot have a relationship with God if we have sin in our life. And Jesus said, many will die in their sins. And he said there in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. So unless we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we are going to die in our sins. And Christians continue to have the blessing of forgiveness. That's one thing that we have. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. And in 1 John 2 and verse 1 and 2, he says, I command you to sin not, but if we do sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we find through prayer, we can ask for forgiveness. When Simon offered to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit, Peter said, you're in the gall of bitterness. And so he said, you need to pray to the Lord right now that He doesn't condemn you. And so that's what Simon sought to do. Pray for me. And so that's what we can do as Christians when we do sin. And when do we sin? We sin often. So we can ask for forgiveness. The definition of a Christian is a forgiven sinner. And so just think of the great relief to know that every sin we've ever committed has been forgiven. Think about that. Now, sometimes our guilt may carry these with us for a long time. But we also have to know that God has forgiven us. And we must be thankful for that. You know, even Paul talked about the fact. He called himself the chiefest of sinners, the most vile person ever was. But yet he says, God saw something in me, and I thank God that He is using me to do His work. And so, yes, we are forgiven of our sins, and there has to be great satisfaction in knowing that. And every time we pray to God, say, forgive us of our sins, we have to know that our sins are wiped away, never to be remembered again by God. Now, we might remember the sins. Others in this life might remember our sins. But God will not remember our sins. And that has to be very comforting. We also have the blessing of prayer. A blessing of prayer, or as we had a couple sermons last year, the privilege of prayer. It is a great privilege to talk to God, the creator of this universe. You know, I use this example. how easy would it be to get an audience with the president? I mean, no, we'd have to go through and we never would make it. They wouldn't allow us in there. But here we can go to the God of all creation and approach him. And the moment we begin our prayer, he has heard us. You remember Daniel in chapter 9. He gave this most beautiful, excellent prayer that he gave to the Lord. And as he was finishing up, the angel of the Lord appeared before him. It was Gabriel appeared before him and said, "The Lord, when you began your prayer, the Lord has heard your prayer." So the moment, the very moment we address God in our prayer, he has heard our prayer. So there's a great blessing there. There is help in time of need. And we always find ourselves in need of one thing or another. And he is always there to give us that help, give us that comfort in our hearts. It is a Christian that has access to the Father, which the world does not have. We have access to God the Father. And it's because Jesus Christ broke down the dividing wall, the barrier that separated us from God. So would the person who fails to honor the Son by becoming a Christian have access to God? Well, we know that's not the case. We talked about that last week. God does not hear the prayer of sinners. And of those who will not listen to God, even their prayer is an abomination. So those who don't live according to God's rules, they can pray all they want, but their prayer is an abomination, and he will not take heed. We have an inner joy. Very simple, similar to that second one we talked about, the inward feeling of satisfaction. 1 Peter 1:8, he calls it a joy inexpressible. In other words, words cannot describe this joy. And it cannot be exhausted with words. You can talk all you want about it, but it really doesn't cover all of it. And one must experience it for themselves. And also in that same passage, and full of glory. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. When you think about this, this is the relationship we have with God. He is able to make us so satisfied with this inward joy, and it is full of glory. It's full of honor and praise that we give to God, and we also gives us a sense of dignity and greatness. Why? Because we're in a relationship with God, which so many in this world cannot claim. And we should experience God. You know, Psalms 34:8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." Yes, we should experience God to really get him into our mind and try and comprehend as much as we can about him. There's more about God that we will never able to fully understand. But the more we learn about him, we could say the more it blows our mind. You know, we use that expression. It just, boom, it's there. The information is so staggering. It's overwhelming. And that's what we need to do with God. Learn so much about him that we can't hold it all in. And when you can't hold it all in, what do? We tell others about him. That's what we need to do, is tell others about him. You know, Peter, he talks about there in 1 Peter 2, 3, and 5, says, "You have tasted." In other words, you have experienced the delights of the Lord. You need to continue to come to him. And so we have tasted the goodness of God. As Christians, we can and should be a blessing to society. You know, Christians are like salt and light. We're the guidance. We're that savoring effect. that the world needs. Employers have learned that Christians make better employees. Governments realize that Christians make better citizens. And society learns that Christians make better neighbors. This is all truism right here. However, the world still hates Christians. And you understand, it's hard to understand why. Because they are the best. They are the best of the best. And yet they hate them. Why? Well, because they're not. It's just that simple. They're not. Christians are able to cope with hardships. You know, some of the things we've been talking about in our Sunday morning class is how we handle this. We handle it with humility and meekness and with patience and endurance. See, there is a certain amount of adversity and hardship that comes to everyone. No one is exempt from this. Everybody goes through problems. Everybody has adversity. Everybody has these stumbling blocks laid in front of them. However, the Christian learns how to manipulate and get around these roadblocks. The Christian sees how to avoid these problems because God has given him a way of escape, right? You know, like temptations. God gives us a way of escape. We just have to find that way. Instead of giving in to temptation and sinning, God allows us to find the way. It might be as simple as saying no. That simple. That's all it takes. But Christians can have that inward peace, the peace that passes all understanding. The Christian faces the same trials and tribulations that are common to all mankind, but they handle their situations differently from those of the world. And you know what? The world notices. People of the world, they notice the type of people who handle situations differently. I'm sure in your workplace, when things don't go right for the boss, there's cursing and swearing and things are throwing and flying across the room and things are being kicked and trash cans are being knocked over and stuff like that. Whereas a Christian, just deal with the situation. And people pay attention to that. They see it. One of the messages in the book of Revelation is that when God brings plagues upon the wicked, it will not hurt those who have the seal of God on their forehead. And that's true, very much like the plagues of Egypt. For most of the plagues, the Israelites were exempt. They didn't have those problems. As a Christian, we have a privilege to be a member in a local congregation. Now, first of all, we know that we are not on our own. That's one thing about having others. We face all these trials every day. We don't have to do it alone. We have each other to give us encouragement, to build us up, and to support us. We have that. Here we're able to study God's word and increase our knowledge of His will. Yes, we can do that on our own, do it at home or wherever we can. We can study to show ourselves approved. But we're commanded to grow in grace and knowledge. And how are we going to do that if we don't study? So we study God's word and we come together and do that. And we share our insight with each other and we learn. Here we have help and encouragement toward a common goal. Our common goal is the proliferation of the church. Our common goal is to get the message of God out. And here we can do that together. That's what the purpose of the church is, as it's supposed to grow. Now, there might be some members in the churches who are hypocrites. They're probably everywhere. But when you think about it, these are some of the best people in the world. These are the best people in the world that you can imagine. And we love them dearly. So it's such a great honor to be a member of our local congregation, because we need each other. Being a Christian makes us a better family member if we are behaving like a Christian. See, a Christian makes a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother. Why? Because they know that they're not supposed to sin. And sin is nothing more than selfishness. And selfishness is the number one cause of divorce. Selfishness is the number one cause of problems in a family relationship as well as any other type of relationship. And generally, children of Christian parents are better children. No greater heritage can be passed down than Christianity, personalized by faithful living. You set an example of Christian living before your children, it will make an impact on their lives, and the likelihood that they will become faithful children is very strong. Faithful children of God, very strong. But yet, if you don't live the life that you're supposed to live, the children will pick up on that as well. We recognize that there's many blessings in this life. As Christians, we can appreciate life. Most people in this world, they can't stand it. In fact, every day, hundreds of people just end their life. They do so by suicide. They just want to end it. They get maybe upset at somebody and go shoot somebody else, then they shoot themselves. They don't see any blessings in this life. A lot of people are suffering because there are no blessings that they perceive. But for each of us, can we count our blessings like the song says and name them one by one? If you actually were to sit down and start a list of your blessings, you'd probably run out of paper. You'd run out of room. Because when you think about it, we have so many blessings. And each of us, we can. There's 60 people in this room. There's 60 blessings for each and every one of us we can list. And our various relationships, all of those. And we do so by giving up in order to receive. That's one of those paradoxes of the Bible. You need to humble yourself in order to be glorified. And so, we give up of ourself, and we receive blessings in return. We do something for other. Yes, we have done something for others. It gives us that inward satisfaction. And that is a blessing. Sometimes all we have to do is ask. As Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. So ask anything in his name and you shall receive. So yes, just ask for blessings and they are going to be there for you. And we understand that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. There are no blessings outside of Christ. So if you want to have blessing, you need to be in Christ. You need to be a Christian. We are a Christian because of the heavenly reward. We've been told about this place called heaven. It's in the age to come. Jesus said, you will have eternal life. And the age to come is the Christian age. That began on the day of Pentecost, in the days of the church, when the information about heaven, eternal life, was actually made known to all the people. And yes, it is certainly a blessing to know that heaven awaits those who are faithful. But it won't be available to those who are not. It should give us everlasting joy. When we make it to heaven, yes, we're going to be joyful. We're going to be so happy, we won't be able to control ourselves. It's a lucky thing we won't have bladders anymore. We won't be able to control ourselves. We won't have bodies that we have to worry about that. I mean, that's another thing to consider. We won't have our bodies. Some of us are looking in the mirror and okay, never mind. I won't go there. All right. The reward. will far outweigh the price. You know, Romans 8:18, Paul talked about this. Anything this life has to offer is nothing compared to what the reward is going to be in heaven. And 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17, he talks about that also. There is nothing on this earth that even compares. And he talks about heaven. He talks about entering into that place where he says the eternal weight of glory will be pressed upon us. We will be floored when we walk in through those pearly gates. Hebrews 4 tells us there remains a rest for the people of God. Yes, if we've done our job as Christians, we can rest from our labors. Revelation 14:12 says, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord, yea, that they may rest from their labors and their deeds follow after them." Another reason to become a Christian is to avoid eternal punishment. You would imagine that most people out there who are not Christians are really not aware of what is being offered out there. They're not aware that there is a life after death. They're not aware that there is an existence called hell. So therefore, they're not afraid of it. We would do them a favor by letting them know there is something beyond this life. See, Jesus solemnly warned against hell. He talked about it a lot. He said there's a great day of wrath coming when the adversaries will be destroyed. I mean, the day of the Lord's wrath, Paul talks about in Romans 2, 5, and then 1 Corinthians 1. Actually, verse 6 through 10 talks about this. When the Lord will send his mighty host, dealing out retribution to those who know not God and those who keep not his commandments. Yes, it's going to be a horrible day for those people. And they will stand before God. And they will be cast out into the outer darkness, away from the presence of God. We are to be fearful of our God, because Hebrews 10:31 says our God is a consuming fire. Well, you might say, well, wait, that's not within the character of God, because God is love, God is kind, God is patient. But remember, God is also just. And those who will not abide by his rules will face a just punishment. The fear of the Lord causes one to depart from evil. We should depart from evil and avoid it. We should learn his word, as Psalm 119 verse 11 tells us, "Thy word I have implanted in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So yes, we need to take God's word, put it in our hearts, and live by it. There are advantages to being a Christian. There are many advantages to being a Christian. It pays to be a Christian. It pays to serve Jesus. And the song we sing, it pays every day. If we remember that we are a Christian and live the life that God wants us to live, there's a blessing in that every day of our life. So we need to avail ourselves of all these blessings. None of these blessings can be yours unless you are a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you're not going to get any blessings, especially any blessings from God. Now, you might get money from time to time and consider that a blessing, but if you want true blessings, that can only be if you are a Christian. To become a Christian, you must believe and repent and confess and be baptized into Christ and continue living faithfully in order to have these blessings. And the result of all that, those of us who are Christians must remain steadfast so that we can continue to enjoy these blessings. And that's what he will do for us. We have that promise from God, and God has never failed one promise He's ever made. So those are things to consider of why we need to be a Christian. Now the question this morning for you, have you availed yourself of that blessing yet? Have you become a Christian? If not, we can help you. The water's ready. Everything necessary is ready to help you. If you have become a Christian, but yet you have failed God, and if you want to make that right, we give you that opportunity also. So if there's any way we can assist you, invite you to come while we stand and sing.